Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. You'll find this on page 1627 of your pew Bibles. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood out at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What are we entitled to as Christians? What does being a Christian entitle us to? What do we deserve as Christians? Do we deserve prosperity and wealth and comfort? I hope you all answered no to that in your minds. But I can point to churches. If we had a TV, I could probably find at least 5 different church services that told you that you are a Christian, and if you would just pray hard enough, and you would just have enough faith, that prosperity and wealth would come to you. And if you were poor or broke or something had gone wrong, it's because you didn't have enough faith. And look at their leaders. They have plenty of money. Some of them have mansions and jets because they are so faithful. I see some laughing, and I hope the rest of you are in that. You're seeing the absurdity of this. But do we deserve that? Or even to a lesser degree, do we deserve to be comfortable? Do we deserve to make sure that all of our needs are completely met? Do we deserve that? But let's go a little bit further. Do we deserve to be saved? Do we deserve salvation? Are we entitled to salvation? Because I can go and talk to some really faithful and well-intentioned and good preachers who would lead you to believe that by being a Christian, you are entitled to being saved. That somehow your faith saves you. Now, the good ones will say that you can't earn it on your own, absolutely. But you can earn what Jesus is giving you. You can be good enough for Jesus' love. If you're faithful, you're entitled to Jesus' love, at least. Are you entitled to salvation? Are you entitled to be saved by virtue of just being a Christian? Let's think about the hero in this story. I hate using the word hero, but I couldn't think of another one. Let's talk about the hero of this story. The one who's walking along and he realizes he's no longer got leprosy. And so he turns around and was like, "Hey, you that saved me, thank you." The one that actually was like, "This is a miracle, and I should thank the one who gave me this miracle." Let's think about him for a minute. Because do not forget how the Jews viewed the Samaritans. They are the worst. They are the evil ones. They are the violent and greedy and disgusting ones. I'm not going to make this political, but I could definitely draw parallels here. They are the disgusting ones, the evil ones. They are the other, the bad guys. If you were to ask any Jew of that time, is the Samaritan the one that's going to do the right thing? They're all going to say no. He's going to do the wrong thing. He's going to think he deserved it. And yet, the other guy, the bad guy, the foreigner, as Jesus says, is the one that is thankful. The one that is supposed to be terrible is the only one that turns around and says, thank you. He's the only one who realizes he's not entitled to what happened. Look at the other nine. Do you think that they went and showed themselves to the priests? Probably. They probably went to synagogue every time they were supposed to. They probably did everything at the temple they needed to. They probably did their sacrifices, provided their animals, gave their tithes. And yet, as they're walking and they're cleansed, and they realize that they're no longer in pain, that they no longer have leprosy, that the suffering that they have been experiencing is over, and they just keep walking. There's a feeling of, I deserved this. I have done the right thing forever, and I deserve to be healed. My prayers are finally answered. I have earned this, or I deserve this, or I'm entitled to this. And there is no thanksgiving from them. Now, we can't speak to what they were thinking in their minds. Maybe they just didn't have the wherewithal to say, oh, maybe I should go thank that guy. Maybe they were thanking God. But the only one to turn around and say thank you and express thanksgiving was the bad guy. The guy that was supposed to be evil and disgusting. The guy that should have been condemned. And the nine who didn't were just fine. They were good Jews. They probably went to temple. They probably went to synagogue. They were just normal Jewish people. But they had that feeling of entitlement. I'm bad about this. I need to do this less. But I have been thinking about the prosperity gospel a lot. Sorry to everyone last week for my little outburst about that flyer I received in the mail. And especially to the mission committee, because I went on a tirade during the mission meeting. But I've been thinking about it, and I realize that the problem with the prosperity gospel isn't greed, because a lot of people who buy into the prosperity gospel don't want to be wealthy. They're not looking for jets and mansions and all of those wonderful things. They're just looking for enough. And they think that somehow being faithful entitles them to something. That we are entitled to something by saying that we believe in Jesus. And again, you can find good and faithful preachers that will tell you that. That just being Christian will fix your problems. But that's not how it works. We live in this broken world. We are entitled to worse than Jesus got, and Jesus got the cross. Jesus got to hang on a cross for us, and we are entitled to worse than what he received. That's what we're entitled to. That's what we deserve. But we are given something so much more, so much greater than we deserve. And the other problem with the prosperity gospel is that it gets the relationship between blessings and faith wrong. There is this belief that if you have strong enough faith, you will receive every blessing that you need. That's backwards. We receive everything that we need anyway. Christ came not because I got up here and preached this morning. Christ came because God loved us. had nothing to do with our faith. Christ came because God loved us. Our faith is not so we are saved. Our faith is because we are saved and we are given something already. Our faith is in response to our blessings, not so we receive blessings. And the thing is, with the prosperity gospel, if you go that direction and you have faith and bad things happen, all of a sudden God isn't real or God is bad. Why is God doing this to me? God didn't do this to anyone. This is a broken world that humans have broken. And there are broken people in this world, and we will do bad things to each other, and bad things will happen to us. But we are blessed by salvation. We are blessed. If we're sitting here, we're blessed with more resources to be stewards of than most people in the world. We are blessed beyond our wildest imaginations that at the end, we can say that we are saved and there is something waiting for us on the other side. And we have faith not so we get there, but because we are given that already. That is where our faith comes from. And I have been guilty, as anyone else, of not being thankful. Just a little bit of a teaser. This conversation I'm going to talk about happened last night. So you know when this sermon got finished. Last night, the whole family, everyone from Iowa gathered last night in the church basement to have a soup supper. And then friends went to their hotel, family went back to our house for a few minutes to gather some things and to clean up. And as we were leaving, my grandma was talking to us and just naming all these wonderful things that Nora and I have now. I have this wonderful church to preach in front of. We have this wonderful house. No idea how wonderful this house is that we have. I have a wonderful wife. Nora has a wonderful job. We have a dog that's good. Good dog. Everyone's noticing. I didn't say great. She's not perfect, but she is a good dog. We have all of these things, and in my mind, I'd given myself credit for them. I'd given myself credit that I'd gotten here. I'd given myself credit for this plan, for ending up here. But that's not it. I have worked hard. I'm not going to deny that, and I think that hard work should be rewarded. I worked hard to get here. I struggled through a lot, and I'm going to own that. But this was not my plan. It was not my plan to not get into seminary the first time around. That was not my plan. My plan was not to struggle through the ordination process. My plan was not to wait as long as I did to marry my wife. My plan was not to serve two churches for 3 years before I was ordained. My plan was not to come to Fort Wayne, Indiana. My plan was not any of these things. And yet this was the very right path. And I am in this great place. And I have done some amazing things, not by my hands, but by God's. And I needed that reminder that this wasn't me, that I wasn't deserving of this. I wasn't entitled to this. This was God. And I needed to give thanksgiving for that. And so, as we come up on Thursday, some of us are really celebrating Thursday, some of us are dreading the work, but Thursday is for Thanksgiving, of remembering the things that we have been given that we did not deserve, that we could not earn. So I charge you to be thankful, to stop looking at your faith as, I'm faithful so I deserve this, but rather, I have been given. And so I am faithful in response. Remember your blessings and have faith because of that. And be thankful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.